Good morning. I mean, it's not even Dan. Is that you? Nice. And someone over there. Good morning. Hey, I got to say, before we get started, I've been really encouraged. Last week we talked about discipleship and how it is kind of the one task that God has given us to do. And my encouragement was in September, or by September, we had prayed through someone that we were going to approach and ask, hey, can we have a discipleship relationship for the next year, for the next period of time? And I have heard people talk all week long, even this morning, talking about they're seriously praying about, God, what does this look like for me? Who could I disciple? Who could I invest in this next year? And that's so encouraging. Some of the conversations I have heard, though, have been a little bit around, I don't know how that would work. That's going to be too hard. I don't know when that would fit in my schedule. And if you remember last week, we said, it won't be convenient, right? So I'm encouraged by that, and I'm encouraged, hopefully you get past the doubts and wondering how it's going to work, and would you pray about who God might have for you to disciple this next year? Let's pray as we get started this morning. God, I thank you so much for your bride here in Rocky Mountain House. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to come in a free country to worship you and to sing about what a powerful name you have and what we have in you because of the cross and because you conquered and there's victory in your death and resurrection. And so, Jesus, I am so thankful for you. God, you are good. I thank you for your word. I pray that you would be here this morning and that you would speak loudly and clearly what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Students, this is our first Sunday since Faith Finders is done. Our first Sunday that you guys are up here. And I just want to say congratulations on finishing another year of school. Good job. Well done. I'm assuming you passed when I say that. But you know what? We pray for you. Because what you have to do is hard. It is hard to be a Christ follower and a student these days. It's hard to know. You got to go to school. You got to learn the things that you need to know. You learn math, English, social, science, everything that you need to know. But it's hard to distinguish what is good, what is fact, what is true, and what is maybe my teacher's bias or the curriculum's bias or society's bias. And what do I do when what I'm being told differs from the way God said he made this place and he designed it? It's tough. And so we pray for you. But you know what? It's not going to change, and it's not going to go away. This is what we all struggle with as we live in this world and yet seek not to be of this world as Jesus prayed for us. What about marriages? You know, there's a family in our church. There was a wedding yesterday. Congratulations to the Siemens and to the Decker families. Right? Yeah. Congratulations to Cass and Josh. And now that they're married, they're going to start getting a lot of advice from people. Mostly unsolicited, some good, some not so good, about how to do marriage. What does that look like? There's a funny conversation we had this week. I was helping our amazing atmosphere team put up this incredible phone for our summer series. And I'm up on a ladder, up right there at the top of the ceiling against the wall. And my wife is, she's afraid for the phone. And one of the people on the team is a single lady, and she is like, whoa, I was praying for his safety, right? Thank you very much. And she listened to what my wife and I bantered back and forth a little bit. And this lady, she says, wow, I'm a lot nicer to my husband, and I haven't even met him yet. One of the other ladies who's married says, yeah, it's a lot easier that way. Now, they were joking, sort of. But everyone around you has advice on how to do marriage, on how to do family. I know a marriage counselor who has been married 5 different times. Marriage counselor. So one might say that she's an expert in the field. I might suggest maybe you avoid that one. You choose. But there are so many influences that affect how we think, affect how we live. And there are lots of assumptions that we make based on our life experiences. Things that we experience, but how do we know that we're coming to the right conclusions based on our life experiences? So let me illustrate. One person gets news that they have cancer. Their conclusion is God is punishing me. Another person gets the exact same news. Their conclusion is God is sanctifying me and teaching me, and I've never been closer. Another person gets the exact same news and says, see, there is no God. Because if there was a God, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen to me. Exact same experience, three vastly different conclusions, and all three are going to live out their lives based on those conclusions, even though they're not necessarily based on fact or truth. We let our experiences far too often, the things that we have been told, the things that we want to be true, and so many other influences affect our thinking and our lives. And how do we know what is true? How do we know if we're right? We're starting a new series this morning for the summer called The Beatitudes, Living in Sync with the Living God. We're going to take the summer to walk through the different statements that Jesus makes in the Beatitudes. These statements where he says, blessed are you if you do this in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Beatitudes are the introductory statements of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. Now, you need to know the Sermon on the Mount would have sounded crazy. It would have sounded backwards to his audience that he was talking to in that day, as it does to many of us still today. But let me suggest to you that is because we are out of sync with the reign, plan, and design of God. I really wanted to come up with an analogy that we could all understand that would help this series of messages hit home for us this summer. And that's why you see the big iPhone up here on stage. Because when our devices are being synced, and we all understand that language, right? Doesn't matter if it's a phone, it doesn't matter if it's a computer that's updating, it doesn't matter if it's a tablet, if it's one of your video games. We understand what it means to get synced. And some things are happening when our devices are syncing, and they're getting refreshed, they're getting renewed. They're combating the new viruses that are out. The new attacks to the integrities of the device, to the integrity of the app or whatever it is. And in the exact same way, we need to constantly be synced with the living God. Because we need to be renewed and we need to be refreshed. And we're constantly combating cultural lies and things that are trying to break down the integrity of truth, the integrity of reality. And we're combating false conclusions that we have come to based on our experiences. And we start to live out of sync with God, and we start to live out of sync with his design for us and for the world. And church, this is what was taking place in antiquity when Jesus went up on a mountainside and he began to teach his disciples. And he began to teach all those that were listening and in, the religious leaders who thought he was infringing on their territory. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. It's page 898 if you're using a Bible in the chairs. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1 this morning. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand and give it light so that all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Keep your finger in there. We're going to continue on a little bit. But Jesus is talking mainly to his disciples. But he's also talking to all of those who are listening in. And Jesus starts talking about how the kingdom of God is here. He says the kingdom of heaven is here. He has come to set things right the way that they're supposed to be. And when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about one day when we all die and we all go to heaven, or one day when Jesus returns. He's talking about right now, God's reign through Jesus, the kingdom of heaven. The Sermon on the Mount teaches us what it means to be citizens of Christ's kingdom. And this is not a list of things to do in order to be accepted by God. Just like we talked about in Galatians, it's more, this is who we are now that we are in Christ. This is, we do these things because we're accepted by God, because we've experienced God's love and God's forgiveness. This is an invitation and a description of who we are and who we can be by the grace of God as He works in our lives and as He changes each and every one of us from the inside out. This is God's design. Jesus was not just the long-awaited Messiah. He is the long-awaited kingdom. God's intention all along was not just to give commands to His people. God's intention was to create a new people with new hearts and new affections and a new attitudes. So this is the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus is doing is He is flipping the way things are. He's flipping the way the world sees things, the way the world works, and the way the religious leaders have read and interpreted God's word. And Jesus, the Word, is setting things right side up, the way God had intended. See, the Beatitudes, they line up an upside down reality. Or put it another way, they define reality in such a way that the usual order of things, the normal order of things, are seen to be upside down in the eyes of God. And this was mind-blowing to those He was talking to. This was shattering everything that they knew to be true. The way that they were taught, the way they thought, the way they reasoned. Without coming right out and saying it, Jesus is saying, you've been wrong. You've been misled. You've been mistaught. And because of it, you have missed God's best for you and for your families and your community and your world. He says, let me tell you the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. Let me give you the picture of the way God has designed this. This is the plan. And He uses normal, everyday things that they would have assumed they were getting right. So think of something that is just, you assume you're doing it the right way based on reading God's word. Just, you'd never question it. And He's saying, you're getting it wrong. So much so, the way He was thinking and His understanding was so vastly different that they started questioning whether they should even listen to the law. Whether they should even read the Torah anymore, because it is so different what He was saying from what they were taking, what the religious leaders were teaching them. So much so that He corrects that thinking right away in verse 17. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them. I have come to fulfill them. He's not saying they're not important. What He's saying is you have missed what they actually say. And you've missed the intention behind these laws. He even goes on to say that therefore, if anyone relaxes one of the least of these commandments, if anyone breaks these commandments and teaches others to do the same, they will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But then listen to what he says. But whoever does them, whoever practices them and then teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So he doesn't say this is just not a do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. Right? No, this is something that you put into practice, that we live out and we teach others. And then listen how he closes. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine listening as disciples, listening as all those listening in at that time, hearing Jesus say this? This would have been crazy. Unless your righteousness, your life surpasses that of the Pharisees. These were the religiously perfect. This is where the bar was set at this point in time. So do you see what he's saying? Unless you are surpassing the Pharisees, in other words, the teachers of the law are out. They, in all their judgmental legalism, have missed what the law actually says. They've missed the heart behind the law, and they've made it a bunch of checklists to measure somebody's spirituality, which actually measures nothing. And it shows that they have missed God, and they've missed this relationship with God that God so desperately desires with His people. Jesus has their attention. And then He gives them a number of examples. If you were to continue looking at the rest of the sermon, He says, you know, you were told that murder is about killing someone. actually murder takes place a long time before that in the heart. He said, you were told that when you cheat on your spouse, you've committed adultery. He said, actually, that takes place a long time before that, when in your heart you start coveting someone who is not your spouse. He said, you've been told that if you want to get a divorce, you just have to write this little certificate and give your wife a certificate of divorce. What is that? Like a memento? A little plaque saying, good try? Jesus says, no, anyone who divorces his wife for any reason other than marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. That teaching alone on divorce and remarriage is so out of sync with the world that we live in. And I'm talking about even people in the church. That is so out of sync. Where do we get our ideas on marriage, our ideas on divorce? Is it coming from God's design and God's plan? Or is it coming from the world that we live in? Is it coming from our own experiences? And we're using that to base what we think we want to happen out of it, what we think should be fair, what we think should be right. Or is it by God's design? He goes on, he says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Be people, men and women, of your word. Don't swear by things, just be people of your word. He talks about how the old system of an eye for an eye is not the way we in the kingdom of heaven, that's not how we are to react. We're actually to turn the other cheek. We are to forgive. That old teaching, an eye for an eye, was actually merciful. All right, because if you know human nature and you took out my eye, I'm going to want to take out two of yours. Right? And if I take out two of your eyes, you're going to want to take out my ears too. And we just escalate until we get to murder. No, this was actually a merciful teaching. An eye for an eye. This revenge is even. But in the kingdom of heaven, it's not about revenge. It's about showing grace and mercy and turning the other cheek. Jesus says we go the extra mile. He talks about loving our enemies. He talks about giving to those in need, but not to be showy. Not to, hey, everybody look at me. I'm caring and I'm generous. Everybody look at what I've been putting in the plate. But more, it's this humble heart with a pure heart where we give to those in need, not to be showy. He talks about, you might want to listen to this one. He talks about not judging each other. Not looking at each other and judging someone else's spirituality, somebody else's walk with Jesus, somebody else, how they follow, if they're living in sin, he says, first take the log out of your own eye before you ever help a brother or sister with a speck in theirs. We're not to be looking around judging. You know what? If we have so much to deal with in our own hearts and our own lives that we don't even have to worry about anybody else. This teaching would have been revolutionary. This would have been crazy for them. And it sets the bar so high. And church, I want to say, the harder time that we have with any specific truth in God's word. So we read God's word this morning and we talk about Jesus' sermon. And if you sit here and there's something in your heart, there's something in you that it just does not sit well, that tells you how far out of sync we are. You understand? If we have trouble aligning our hearts and aligning our lives with God's design, with the kingdom of heaven, it tells you how far out of sync we are. And remember, it's not a list of things that we need to do, we need to work on. This is a picture of who we are and who God is making us to be as we surrender to his lordship. We say, Jesus, I want you to come in and I want you to make me new. This is the natural overflow of a life lived in connection with Jesus. In connection with the cross of Christ. This is what Jesus is going to produce in us and in our hearts as we live for him. And so as we look at the Beatitudes throughout the summer, we're going to look at what Jesus meant when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're going to look at what does he mean when he says, blessed are those who mourn, because that doesn't seem blessed. That seems backwards. And I think it seems backwards because we're out of sync. And so when we desire, church, to get back in sync, the farther we are away, the longer it's going to take. Have you ever had a few updates on your phone or on your computer and a blip comes up and it says you need an update and you're like, yeah, I don't have time right now. Second time, the third time, the longer you are out of sync, the farther away, the longer it takes, right? Especially depending on your connection. I met a missionary in Niger. She says, we don't even try in Upti. The national office sends out videos to encourage the missionaries. They just laugh. They can't watch it. Their connection is so bad. It depends on our connection. Are we on our knees? Is our heart right? Are we in the Word? And you can't take shortcuts. Don't use any third-party apps, some other preacher, some other author. Only listen to people that you agree with. This is getting on your knees in prayer, reading the Word of God in context. Did you hear that last part? In context. Let me illustrate why context is so important. Guy's driving down the highway, and he runs into a cow, totals his truck. He's in court later on suing the owner of the cow for damages and for injuries that were sustained in the accident. And the guy who owns the cow, his lawyer stands up and says, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you not say to the police officer on site that you were fine? Yes or no? Well, no, you don't understand. No, yes or no? Yes. But context is important. See, what happened is he hit this cow. It totaled his truck. His truck is laying down in the ditch. He gets out and he's laying in the grass beside his truck. About 20 yards away is this cow with two broken front legs in pain and agony. And when the police officer arrives on the scene, he's assessing the situation and he sees this cow has two broken legs. He takes out his gun. He puts it out of his misery and he turns to the man. He says, and how are you? I'm fine. I'm fine. He says. Context is pretty important. When you approach God's Word, you don't just take a verse. You read the paragraph. You read the chapter in context. What was it saying to the original readers, the original hearers of the day? You read it in the context of the book, in context of the whole Bible. And you take that eternal truth and you apply it. How does that apply to me today? You read it in context. Actually, not getting God's Word correct is what led to the Sermon on the Mount in the first place. Well, so what? What are some things that keep us out of sync? Just living our life in this world gets us out of sync really fast. Just living in this world. If you were to pick up and move somewhere else, all of a sudden you are going to learn a new language. You're going to learn a new accent. And you don't even have to leave. I'm not saying you're going to learn a new language like the place you're going is not English. But when I moved down to the States, I couldn't say sorry anymore. Okay, they wouldn't hear anything I said in a message because they'd come up after and said, you said sorry, right? So I learned to say sorry. Apparently it's with an A down in the States. We have some Americans with us here this morning. Sorry for your benefit. Wherever you live, you're going to pick up the slang. You're going to pick up the lingo. You're going to start dressing the way they dress. It's just normal. It's normal. The people you hang out with influence you and shape you. Scripture says that bad company corrupts good character. So let's just assume this morning that we all have good character. We all have that baseline. But who are we hanging out with? Who is influencing us the most? And it rubs off on us. It's just natural. It doesn't matter how strong you are. This is living in the world. And if so, we need to get back in sync often. Students, school. Is one way that we get out of sync. Listening to all the different ideas and the thoughts, which is good. And you learn how to think for yourself. Please learn how to think for yourself and reason. But how do you know what's true? How do you know what's reality? How do you know what, if you were to pick up and leave from this school and go to another school, all of a sudden you're going to learn that it's not just everybody your age has the same priorities. There's a culture in every place you go. And so you're going to pick up what's most important to these group of students that we hang out with. What is the priorities to these group of students? And we get out of sync. Same thing happens in the workplace. Happens in our hobbies. Happens with sports and with friends. But church, the biggest way that we get out of sync with the living God is when we allow sin and secrets to dwell in our lives and we don't call them out. And we don't get rid of them. Do you understand that? One of the speakers from Alliance Assembly this year, talking about the Holy Spirit and surrendering our lives to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to fill us, allowing Him to change us and mold us like we're talking about this morning. And he said this, he said, when we allow sin and secrets to dwell in our lives, our theology begins to get compromised to align with our lifestyle and our desires. Do you understand that? When we allow sin and secrets to dwell in our lives, our theology begins to get compromised to line up with our lifestyle and our desires. We change our theology to match how we want to live, and it should be the reverse. We need to get rid of the secrets in our lives. We need to bring everything into the light. We need to get rid of sin, and we need to come back and sync with the living God and not let the integrity of truth and God's best for us get compromised. And as much as we hate computer viruses and we hate people who are hackers who are always trying to get into your Wi-Fi and people who are steal your identity, Satan is much, much worse. And Satan is in control of this world that we live in. And we need to get back and be synced with the living God and the living Word and His best for us. The way that God has designed us, the way that God has designed His world to function. And church, the more that we line up with the kingdom of heaven, the more we're going to look upside down to this world that we live in. So we need to sync often. Please hear that this morning. We need to sync often. Casting Crowns has a song called "It's a Slow Fade." It's a slow fade to giving your life away. The idea behind the song is nobody wakes up one day and says, "You know what? I think I'm going to cheat on my spouse." Nobody wakes up and says, "You know what? I think I'm going to get a divorce. Sounds like a good thing to do today. You know what? I think I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to wake up today. I think I'm going to become an addict. Or I don't want to have a close relationship with God." That happens slowly as we allow sin and we allow our failures and things in our life and we don't check them. We don't keep short accountability. We don't get back in sync with the living God. We don't call ourselves on the sin and our failure in our life and say, "You know what? That is not who I am." And we fail. We all fail often. Call it out. Ask for forgiveness. And move forward in freedom because Jesus has died for that. You don't have to live there. And we've been out of sync for a long time. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here today and you feel spiritually just dry. When you read the Word of God, maybe you feel like, "You know what? I just have no desire to read the Word of God. When I read it, it just doesn't seem relevant to this world that I'm living in." The farther we are out of sync, the longer it's going to take. And the harder and the more frustrating sometimes it is. But are we committed to saying, "God, I want to live for you. I want to live in line with your kingdom." We need to remember as we come to God's word and we see if our lives are aligning with the kingdom of heaven, that it is the Spirit of God who wants to do the work. This is not a works-based faith. This is God has done all the work and He wants to do that in us and through us, but He will not force it on us. He wants to give us joy and freedom and to experience life to the full, but He wants us to press into Him and say, "God, we surrender. We want you to change the desires of our hearts. We want this." So we need to stay in sync. We need to sync often. And if it's been a while, it's going to be a process. And so maybe today, by way of application, really, really simple. Why don't we take a couple minutes and just pray? And just ask God, say, "God, I desire to live my life in sync with you in the kingdom of heaven. I desire to align my life with your plans, because I know it's best, and I know you love me." Can we take a couple minutes and just pray, "God, would you give me that desire? God, would you change my heart? Would you transform my thinking and mold my thinking to be in line with you?" I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give us a couple minutes today to just pray. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're saying, "You know what, if I'm going to be completely honest, I don't desire to live according to God's plan. And I know I should, but I don't." Can I encourage you to be honest with God and tell Him that? "God, I don't desire to follow you, but I want to desire it. Can you change my heart?" I'm going to say the front of the church is always open. As a type of altar. If you want to come up and you want to kneel and you want to pray, then you are welcome to come anytime. You don't have to pray up at the front. You can pray in your seats. God hears you. But there's sometimes when it comes to surrender, if you're like me, where God nudges me and says, no, I want you to come up. I want you to make an action step. I want you to not care about anybody else. And I want you to be between me and you. And so the front is open if that's you. We'll pray for a couple minutes. I think the music will just play underneath. And then after a couple minutes, we'll close in a song. God, I pray that it is our desire that we would live for you. God, you are where our help comes from. Maker of heaven and earth. God, when we start forgetting that, would you bring us back time and time and time again? In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy your week.